Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Can you believe it? We're back to the beginning. We get to start over. It's so great to be able to start over sometimes and get it right. And so today we're going to start all the Torah portions over again. We'll be starting with Genesis 1:1, Bereishit. And we're going to be looking how the Lord is in every single one of these Torah portions. So let's just open with a word of prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we thank you for this beautiful Shabbat that we can come and get to learn to know you more. Father, open our eyes of our understanding, our ears, our heart, that we could receive the word, your word that's coming forth to each one of us in Yeshua's name. And everybody says, amen, amen and amen. You can be seated. Okay, and as all of you know, El Shaddai's goal is to take Torah to the nations. But first, we want to recognize any visitors. If you're here visiting for the first time, would you raise your hand? We just want to say thank you for visiting. I know we have several people. All right. We'd like to know where people are from. So where are you from? Holland, the Netherlands. Yay. And what city or state are you from? Puyallup. Hooray for Puyallup. Yes. Anchorage, Alaska. They're visiting with us. Any others? We always love visitors coming to visit with us. And okay, where's that little one from? Bainbridge Island. All right. Now, we have just a few more pictures from people around the world, around the United States, that sent us pictures of their sukkah. I'll show you very quickly. Here is one from the Sandstrom family. And here's the inside of it. And here they are saying hello, a lot of the different people that visited. And then I also got a picture from Todd and Anna Levison family that's there. Look at the inside. They got like this huge thing. Here it is from the outside. And then we have the Noriega family in Arizona. And what I wanted to stop for just a minute, how many of you know I was in Houston this last weekend right after the Shabbat service? We visited a congregation. Their building suffered about $500,000 of damage. And there were like five different families who lost everything. Some of them were widows. And they had lost everything and didn't have flood insurance, you know. So a lot of these people are in a bad state, and they asked me to come down and kind of strengthen them and encourage them, and it went very well. With last weekend being the Zot Habraka, or the end of the Deuteronomy, where this is the blessing. I spoke about the priestly blessing in the morning, and then they wanted to know about Revelation, end times in the evening, so I spoke at the evening. But anyway, just, I'm so proud of you guys. And so I'm so proud of our internet listeners. El Shaddai was able to send them about $30,000. That's what we collected. We had about $10,000. They said they had about $10,000 come in over the internet from people, you know. And then we, El Shaddai here, brought in about $10,000. And then El Shaddai ourselves took about $10,000. And those five, the widows and different people, we gave each one of them $1,000 cash so that they were able to be blessed. It's not just the church, but some families. And so Pastor Roy Love wanted to give a thanks to all of you. So he and I created this little short video while I was there. If you played the video of him saying thank you to you guys.
Of El Shaddai Ministries, and I am so excited to be here in Webster, Texas, a suburb of Houston, with Pastor Roy Love of Praise Chapel.
Oh, and it's good to be with you, Brother Bill said. You've blessed us this morning. I mean, the word that you gave to this congregation was so needed. It was just like they were a sponge just soaking it in because of what we've been through, even in this church. The flood that came, Harvey, and just completely it flooded our entire church. And then to think El Shaddai Ministry, your ministry, has been such an instrument in helping put this church back together. And we've got a long ways to go, but we're going to make it. And I want to thank you for your love, your concern, your huge gift that you gave to the church this morning, and your partners that have responded. And just thank you, your ministry and all of your partners. I appreciate it so much to see a ministry that doesn't say they're doing things, but you can see what they're doing, that they're involved in that, wherever it needs to be involved in, because they love people. And there were five families this morning that lost everything, and they were in need, and three of them were precious, like widow ladies, you know, and you put money, a lot of money, in their hand, and that speaks volumes of what God is doing through your ministry. And thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you to all of your great supporters. And you continue to pray for us, because we do have a long ways to go. I mean, our floors are building, but with God's help, God's grace, we're going to make it.
Well, I just thank you, Pastor Roy Love. You are such a blessing. It's amazing. You invited me to come down a week before the flood even happened. You know, this was the Lord. And I just knew after the flood that I had to get down here and just bless you. And because you're a very loving pastor, and the people of your congregation love you with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you've been a huge blessing. And I'm just glad that we can, you know, and all of our congregation, people all over the world can help sow in and to help you. I'm here in the location on site, and I see the sheetrock 4 feet high around the whole perimeter of the building and the floor without any carpet. And so we're just so thankful that we could be a part of blessing the Lord and what he's doing through your ministry.
Thank you so much for doing what the Bible teaches of helping people, and you are doing that, and I'm just one of those that see it, and I know many others see it because you bless so many, and we thank you for everything you've done. We're forever grateful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We love you very, very much.
Very much.
We love you.
Peace be with you.
Amen. Shalom.
Amen.
So anyway, that's what it's all about. This is what you guys accomplish. It's so great to be able to help others in need. So at this time, let's stand, and we'll open with prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now for the greatest commandment together. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Mahuto Leolam Vayed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Praise be the name of his glorious sovereignty forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them thoroughly to your children. And you shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for a reminder between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. When the word entered the world, freedom entered it. Its highest teaching is love and kindness.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and as he equals you, do not use any perverse.
And that is the whole Torah. Go and learn it, honoring one another, doing acts of kindness, and making peace. These are our highest duties. So let us learn in order to teach. It is a tree of life to those who hold fast. All who cling to it find happiness. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Truly shall we return. Renew our days as in the past, the days of our first love. So, Father, as we listen to the sound of the shofar here, I pray, God, that you would break up any stones in our hearts. Father, we want to hear directly from you. We want to have open hearts, Father, that will receive your word with joy and gladness. And we just thank you in Yeshua's name. And everybody says, amen.
Let God arise, oh yeah. the music play.
Just to be with you.
our Shabbat. And this is where we can just all lay those things aside and just wash those things away and remember that no matter what, He is worthy to be praised. No matter what happened last week, what's happening tomorrow, He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be honored and lifted high. So sing with us today as we just lift the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for He is so worthy. Thank you, Father. I enter to worship you all.
creation of water, earth, and sky. Heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. You're the God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. Oh, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. Your majesty, you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, you're Lord of heaven and earth, yes you are, hallelujah, to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and God of wonders beyond our galaxy. Yes, you are holy. You're holy. The universe declares your majesty. Yes, you are holy. You're so holy. You're the God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy. Yes, you're holy. Oh, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. You're the Lord of heaven and earth. You're Lord of heaven and earth. Come on with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. Heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven. Last time. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, 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 holy.
Hallelujah. 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 love you, Lord. Lord, we love you.
Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we truly love you. We're so grateful that we can join the heavenly chorus on this day to let you know that we truly are thankful, that we truly love you. Father, you created this day just for us to spend time with you. Father, we just want to rest in your arms, feel your heartbeat, and let you know how much we truly love you. And we thank you. Thank you, thank you for this time. We want to be a thankful people. Father, at this time I want to pray for those who have physical needs. Lord, touch them. Those that are sick or in the hospital, heal them, O Lord. For those who have spiritual needs, draw them close to you at this time as we rejoice in your Torah, we rejoice in your word. For the financial needs of your people, Father, and for those we can't help but think of that have suffered major loss in fires and hurricanes, Father, we pray that you would restore that which has been taken, O God. For our nation and for all the nations that are live streaming as we lift up our nation before you, Father, we come before you, Father, in repentance for the sins of our nation. We ask, Lord, that you would... Father, that you would just touch hearts, that people would return back to you and back to your word. And for the nation of Israel, we pray for them as well. Father, at this time, you would put a hedge of protection around them. Give all the leaders, religious, political, military, wisdom on what to do at this time. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. And everybody says, amen. Let's have the kids come up. We'll pray over them. Let's get them under the tallit. And send them on their way. Thank you, worship team. Wonderful job. Wonderful job. Here we are in the beginning. We are starting anew. So great seeing all these kids. Let's extend our hands toward them and bless them and... Let's also pray a special blessing over the teachers and over the parents as well. And here they all come. Father, we just thank you for all these hearts, these children that you've committed into the parents' hands and into the teachers as they bring your word to them. I pray, Lord, a special blessing upon the parents, a special blessing upon the teachers, that as they teach your word to these students, these kids, Father, that it would fall upon good ground, that each one of these children would receive of your word, and they would all bear much fruit for your glory and for your kingdom in Yeshua's name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Thank you. You could be seated. All right. Well, this here is truly one of my favorite Torah portions because it is the very first one. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I always thought one of those Swiss Army knives were really cool. I don't know about you, but I'd have a Swiss Army knife and I would... You know, I couldn't believe it when not only was it a knife, I had one that could become a fork or a spoon, too. Yeah, and then I found there was a screwdriver on one end. And then a bottle opener and a cork. And I thought, oh my gosh, there's more. There's more to all of this. Look at all the things it can do. Well, today as we begin the Torah portion, I want to let you know there's more that the Bible can do. There's so many things we're going to discover in the Bible. I didn't know the Bible could do that too. And so what I want to do is, you know, they say give a man a fish to eat for a day, teach a man to fish to eat for a lifetime. Well, this morning, this new year, we're going to kind of show you things that is in the Bible that you may not have ever seen before. Some of you may have seen some of these things, depending on how long you've been coming to El Shaddai. But to me, there's always more. And I think the Bible should be fun. And a lot of times when we read the Bible, we just read it as ancient history, knowing not that it's so much more than just history. It is also a ketubah. It's a wedding covenant. Okay? It's also a constitution. It's the laws of a nation as well as the laws for people. But we're going to find so much more, just like as you look at a snowflake under a microscope, you see things you'd never had seen before. So today's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to look at it from a lot of different directions. To begin with, I believe you have that up. That is the word Bereshit in Hebrew, and then the English equivalent's going the other direction. And what does Bereshit mean? In the beginning. That is the very first words. It's one word in Hebrew, three words in English. But I want to start with last week's Torah portion as it's ending in Deuteronomy 34, 10 and 11. It talks about there hasn't arisen a prophet since in Israel, like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, to all his land. And then it closes with this. And so let's look at this scroll. And then it ends, and in all the great terror which Moses worked in the sight of all Israel. So what is the last word of the first five books? Israel. And so now, today, we roll the scroll back, and now we go back to the beginning. And we find in it where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right, well, I want to show you something. We're going to take a look at the Hebrew Aleph Bet. And you'll see here, let me bring it up with this screen. Now you have the letter Aleph here. And you have the Beit, Gimel, Dalet, and as it goes all the way around to the top, the last letter, and then it connects again to the letter Aleph. To understand the Bible, you have to understand it circular, not linear, okay? Because we go back to the beginning. And so one of the interesting things, do you notice the line around the bottom three letters, the center letters of the Hebrew Aleph Bet? The Lord has a crown on his head. And what I want you to think of, I want you to think of the crown where every point is a Hebrew letter. Now here is a crown. It doesn't have 26 points, but here are the middle three letters, the Mem, the Lamed, and the Kaf. Well, that is the word Melech, which means king. And so right here, even with the Hebrew alphabet, as it goes all the way around, as a crown upon his head, we see the word Melech right in the middle, or he is the king of all the earth. Now, how many of you know that the Torah also is like a necklace, they say? And so at the end, you have to have a clasp that hooks things together. So if you take a Torah scroll and you wrap it all the way around, the last word in the Torah we saw was Israel. And the first word of the Torah is Bereshit, which means in the beginning. Okay? Well, if we look at that from another perspective, here it is. The last letter and the first letter. The last letter in Hebrew is the Lamed. The first letter in Genesis is the Beit. Well, that forms the word Lev, which is heart. And the Torah is the very heart of God. And the interesting thing about the Lamed in Hebrew, the Lamed was a shepherd's staff in ancient Hebrew, and it means authority and control. Beit, as you may know in Hebrew, means house. So the heart is what controls the house. And here we see the whole Torah from beginning to end. When you see it circular, you see that it is the heart of God. Now, let's talk a little bit about Genesis or Bereshit. We're talking about the birth of the universe. How many of you know God created everything? All right, he owns it all. He made the Garden of Eden. He put Adam in it, and then what did he do? He expelled Adam when he didn't walk according to the commands given him. Well, it's the same thing. God created all of humanity, and when humanity continued in lawlessness, he brought the flood and expelled pretty much all of man from the earth. And then he expelled seven nations from the promised land because of their lawlessness and gave it to the nation of Israel. Then he expelled the nation of Israel from the land for their lawlessness. And so we need to understand God determines and did determine the initial boundaries for all the nations. And how many of you know very soon he's going to readjust them again according to his pleasure. What's so important is we realize God owns it all. God is responsible for it all. Just when you create children, how many of you know you're responsible for your children? Okay, well, God is responsible. Now, one of the interesting things that the sages talk about is everyone sees the Torah as a law book. Well, it's more than a law book. It began with a story. Why did it begin with Genesis instead of Exodus? Well, they say the reason why is because God wanted everyone to know he's the one who determines the boundaries. So when the nations would tell Israel, you stole our land, Israel could say, no, God gave it to us. You following me? Because right now, what are the nations saying? You're stealing the Palestinian land. No, God gave it to us. And how many of you know to be successful, you have to have a good self-image too. Typically, if you think you're bad, you're going to be bad. Well, God wanted Israel to know that he gave them this land, and so they wouldn't have the concept that they're stealing it because it belonged to them. But now let's look at Genesis 1, 2 through 5. It says, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and God's Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. And God saw the light and saw that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning. One day. The one word we see repeated over and over is what? Light. Light, light, light. And we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But before we go there, I want to introduce Psalms 119 at this point. Because God said, let there be light. And what happened? Okay, in case you didn't know, Psalm 119 is all about the Hebrew alphabet. Eight verses is committed to each letter in alphabetical order. Well, when we come to Psalm 119, verse 129 through 131 is the Hebrew letter pay. And look at what it says. Pay means what? Anyone know what pay means? Mouth. The letter pay, every letter is also a word. Pay is mouth. And look at this. It says, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, does my soul keep them? The entrance of your words bring what? Oh, my gosh. The entrance of God's word when he speaks brings light. Therefore, the first thing he said was, let there be light. And there was light just because of the fact that God was speaking. And then he says, your words give understanding to the simple. And look at this. I opened my peh. My mouth, and I panted, for I long for your commandments. You know, when I see little birds opening their mouth wanting food, or dogs or cats, I want food, feed me, feed me. How many of you want to be fed? How many of you want to be not fed just milk and cookies, but some meat and potatoes? Okay, well, look at this. He opens his mouth and he's panting. His food is his commandments. The commandments are what we can feed upon. They're not to be a terror unto us. And then look at 135 through 136, which is part of the letter Peh. It says, make your face shine on your servant. Doesn't that sound like the priestly blessing? Okay. And it says, teach me your statutes. And then look at this. Streams of tears are running down my eyes because they don't observe your Torah. David is weeping because people don't observe the Torah. Wow, is that our attitude toward God's commands? Now, look at Psalm 33:6. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by what? The breath of his mouth. And so what's interesting is and when I think of the breath, I think of the Spirit of God. Okay, you have the Father, and then you have the Son, who is the Word, and the Spirit, the breath, is what's projecting it. And it brings light. And the Bible says the Torah is light. So let's take a look at this. Here we have the universe. And here we have the first 10 letters of the Hebrew Aleph Bet. Let's see how many of you can say it. Let's say them. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zion, Chet, Tet, Yud. All right. Excellent. And the first word was Breshit. And what I think is interesting is 2 Timothy from the New Testament 3:16, every scripture is what? God breathed. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, how many of you believe every scripture is God breathed? How many believe every scripture is profitable for teaching? How many of you know when this was written, there were no Gideon Bibles? Okay. He's talking about the Torah, and it's profitable for teaching and reproof and correction. Okay, so now here we have the Breshit, which means in the beginning. And you'll notice the big letter B there. Well, that's the letter Beit. What does Beit mean in Hebrew? House. And so we begin with a house. Why? Some of the sages wonder, if Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, how come God didn't begin the Bible with Aleph? How come he began it with the letter Beit? Okay, because Beit means house. And you'll notice even the shape of the letter Beit looks like the shape of a house. But what's interesting is more than house, it means home or family. God wanted to build a family. So the Bible begins with the letter Beit because he wants to have a home. He wants a place to dwell with mankind. And so here we have the letter Peh, which is mouth, and God created it by the breath of his mouth. So God breathes, and what happens? The universe is created. Well, the amazing thing about the letter Peh, when those of you that take our little 10-minute, 15-minute Hebrew class once a week, we're going to get to the letter Peh, and you're going to see this again. But the letter Peh, or Peh, means a word, which means what? Mouth. So I'm going to help you see it. There's the mouth. You see that? Maybe it'll help if we put an eye and an ear on it. Okay, so this is Peh, which means mouth. Now, the Peh has the letter He at the end. That's the word Peh, which means mouth. And the He is breath. That's what it represents, the letter He, breath. Now, what's fascinating, if you look at the letter Beit, which the Bible begins with, you see the letter Beit within the letter Peh. Do you see the letter Bet right within there? Let's put it out there so you can see it. Now, the question comes, how come God didn't begin the scripture with the letter Aleph? Why the letter Beit? Well, one thing, the Aleph was first. At the top here is the letter Aleph, but here's the word Aleph. Do you hear the L sound and the F? That's Aleph. Okay, now watch this. Oh, let me do that. Okay, when you take the word Aleph, you can break it into two things. El, which represents God, as in Elohim. Then you have the letter Peh, and the letter Peh is mouth. And so the Aleph was first, but how do you know when you know the Hebrew language, the Aleph is silent? It makes no sound. So he started with the letter Bet, which was inside of his mouth, and he speaks forth, and you have Breshit. And the Beit speaks of the Son, as in Bar and Ben. Now, one of the interesting things, too, about Breshit, you can have it broken into two words. The letter Bet means in. Reshit is the beginning, and that's where they get in the beginning. Now, what's fascinating is in Judaism, just the end part, Reshit, which in Leviticus 23 is translated as first fruits, they say the Messiah's name is Reshit. His name is Reshit. Well, what's fascinating is the letter Beit, which is before it, can also mean for or by. So therefore, when we say in the beginning, That phrase in English could also be translated as for the Messiah or by the Messiah. And what do we find? Well, in John 1, 1 through 3, here, in the beginning, just like in Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then look at this. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, look at Colossians 1:16. When we read, instead of in the beginning, but for Messiah and by Messiah, this is where the Apostle Paul got Colossians 1:16-18 from. It says, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible, invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Look at this. All things were created by Him and for Him. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the reshit, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. The word firstborn or the first is reshit in Hebrew. So Paul is drawing on this, what I'm talking about, how the phrase in the beginning in English, Bereshit, could be translated as by the Messiah or for the Messiah. Now to me that is just incredible. Now when you look at the first seven words in the very first verse of the Bible, I want you to notice something. There are how many Hebrew words? Seven. And what is right in the middle? The Aleph Tav. You know, you've been robbed of a word in your Bible. How many of you know the Aleph Tav is not in your Bible? Here we have Bereshit in the beginning, Bara created, Elohim God, Et, no translation, Hashemayim v'et Haaretz, the heavens and the earth. So we've been robbed of a word. We're going to talk about the Aleph Tav here in just a minute, which is quite incredible. Because the Aleph Tav is right in the middle of the seven words, correct? Well, let's look at Psalms 104, verse 1 and 2. It says, bless the Lord, my soul, the Lord, my God, you are very great. You're clothed with honor and majesty. He covers himself with what? As a garment. Light is God's garment. Well, now, here we have the seven words of Genesis 1:1. Well, what's fascinating is let's go to Revelation 1:12-13. It says that John says, I turned to see the voice, and the voice is the word. And how, I would think I turned to hear the voice. Why do you say I turned to see the voice? Okay, now look at this. And being turned, I saw seven candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like to the Son of Man, and he's clothed with a garment. What is that garment he's clothed with? Light, down to the foot. Okay, so let's take a look now. Here is Revelation. There's seven golden lamps, and who was right in the middle? The Aleph Tav. That's Yeshua. So he's seeing the menorah, he's seeing the Yeshua, he is that fourth man in the midst of the fires. Think of the three kids in the fiery furnace, and there was a fourth man in the midst of the fire. This is Yeshua. He is the Aleph Tav. He is the beginning and the end. So now, the letter Vav. I want to talk to you just a minute about the letter Vav. Here it is. Do you see the letter Vav right there? Okay, the letter Vav is the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, now the reason it's the sixth, well, it's the sixth letter, and Vav represents man. When you see the letter Vav, I want you to think of a human being, because man was created on the what day? Sixth day. And you can even see the Vav like laying down there. Okay, so man is the Vav. Okay, so here's what I want to show you. Vav, the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, or you see it, is it's the 22nd letter. All right, let's go back one. Well, let's just bring it up. Let me go here. If you were to count these letters, Vav is the 22nd letter. Okay, well, Vav means hook or to connect. That's the idea. All right. And so here we have the letter Vav, which is also can be represented by a nail. And I want you to watch this here. It's attached to the sixth word, which basically means that it's connecting heaven and earth. You see that? That's what it is. It's the word and. And what is it doing? It's connecting heaven and earth. That's what Vav does. It's a connector between heaven and earth. Okay, now I want you to notice this. It says, in the beginning created God Aleph Tav, right? Well, one way that they read that is, okay, that means in the beginning what God created was the Hebrew alphabet. Because just like we say A to Z in English, in Hebrew you'd say Aleph to Tav. Well, A to Z is supposed to cover every word in the dictionary, just like Aleph to Tav covers every word in the dictionary. And Yeshua is what? The Word of God. So he also, not only is he the Aleph Tav, he encompasses the entire Hebrew alphabet, every single word that you could speak. Now, if you'll notice this, a day with the Lord is how many years? 1,000 years. And the first time the Aleph Tav arrives is at the fourth day of creation when Yeshua came. Now, the next time we see the Aleph Tav is at the end of the sixth day. And now we are at the end of the 6,000 years. Time for the Aleph Tav to return. But look at this. It's connected to the letter Vav, which symbolizes man. The Aleph Tav represents God. So here you have Yeshua returning. He is both man and God. And now we have the Aleph Tav who's been pierced by the nail. And they look upon him whom they have pierced. So we can see both the first comings and the second coming of the Messiah, how he is the Aleph Tav, but he is the Vav Aleph Tav. Right there in Genesis 1:1. I bet you didn't know the Bible could do that. Now, when we go back and look at Genesis 1:3-5 again, God says, let there be light, and there was. And then it says, God saw the light. All right? Now, I want to show you a Hebrew scroll where it says the light. Now, light is right there. Here is the light. Let me bring this up. The letter He is the. Here is the word for light, the Aleph Vav Resh, or. But again, here you have something that's not in your Bible. And I wish they would put the Aleph Tav in. I want you to notice it's the Aleph Tav light. This is referring to Yeshua. He is the Aleph Tav. He was the light before there ever was a sun and a moon. It's the Aleph Tav light. Haor. And so one of the things that we see, I want you to notice this. Look at Proverbs 6:23. The commandment is a lamp, and the law or the Torah is what? Light. All right, so here we have the Torah is the light. Now, here we see the word or, which is what? Light. But when it says God saw the light, you have Aleph Tav Haor, right? Now, what's interesting is every letter is a number. We just read the Torah is light. The Aleph is 1. The Tav is 400. The He is 5. Aleph is 1 again. The Vav is 6. The Resh is 200. Well, when you look at the light, you have 212 for the light, 401 for Aleph Tav. Guess what that equals? 613. And how many mitzvot are there? How many commandments? 613. The Torah is the light. 613. Now, they say, where did the light of creation go? Because all of a sudden, God, that light like went out and he created the sun and the moon for the light. That light, where did the original light go? Well, they say it went into the Torah because the Torah is what? Light. This is the word Batorah, which means in Torah. All right? And guess what? It also equals 613 in the light, which is why Proverbs 6:23 says the commandment is a lamp and the Torah is the light. Now, look at Isaiah 51:4. Isaiah 51:4 says, "Hearken to me, my people." So who's he telling to listen to him? The heathen or his people? "Give ear to me, O my nation. The law, or the Torah, is going to proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for what? A light." So again, the Torah is the light. You can see why people want to put a bushel over the light. He says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't put a bushel over the Torah saying it's done away with, it's no good, because you're hiding your light. The commandment is a light. As a matter of fact, if you look at the word or, which appears five times in these first verses of creation, it's Aleph Vav Resh, Aleph Vav Resh. This is the light before the sun and the moon. But do you know when he creates the sun and the moon to give light on the earth, it changes. The Vav is missing. It's almost like a connection is broken. We no longer have the light of the Torah. We only have the light of the sun and the moon. In Genesis 1:14, God said, "Let there be lights." And here, the letter Vav is now missing. A connection has been broken. But whenever you spell a word in its complete or full form, like Aleph Vav Resh, that signifies totality, integrity. Whenever you spell it incompletely or defective, it indicates imperfection or not as good. How many of you know there are a lot of misspelled words in the Torah intentionally, but in English we correct them, which is wrong because God has them spelled differently for a reason. He wants to communicate something to us, and we try to correct it by spelling it correctly. So the light that shone for the first 3 days of creation was perfect and full, while that which shone when the sun and the moon were created was less perfect or is defective. And so what did he do? He clothed it in the Torah. Now in John 1:6-9, it talks about there came a man sent from God whose name was Yochanan. That John is the English, but Yochanan means God is gracious. And he came as a witness that he might testify about the what? The light, that I might believe through him. Yochanan saying, I'm not the light. I was sent to testify about the light. And then he says, the true light that lightens everyone who comes into the world. This is the Aleph Tav light. Now, let me bring this up. How many of you know people that say, we're number one, we're number one? And when they are number one, they're trying to say, we're the greatest, we're the biggest, we're the best. Well, you know what I think is interesting? How many of you know God's number one? But does he come across as arrogant? Not at all. As a matter of fact, when you think of God's name, what is God's name in Hebrew? The Yud Hey Vav Hey. Look at this. Here's God's name. The Yud Hey Vav Hey. He didn't begin his name with the letter Lamed, which is the biggest letter. He began his name in humility. The smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the letter Yud. And then look at this. This is Israel. And again, he chose his kids to begin with the letter Yud, the smallest letter. Look at this. Here, oh, I'm sorry. This is Israel. There's Israel. This is Judah, Yehuda. This is Yeshua, Jesus. Yeshua, the second one. This is Yeshua. Even Yeshua chose the letter Yud as his smallest letter of his name as well. So you have, let me go like that. So you have God's name, the Yud Hey Vav Hey, Yeshua's name, Israel, Judah, all of them begin with the letter Yud, the smallest letter. Now, one of the interesting things about the name of Israel, let me show you this. Israel is made up of two names, Yisar, El. Now, let's take a look at some verses. First off, I want to mention Philippians 2:8, where it talks about Yeshua being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So he humbles himself. Look at Psalms 22:6. It says, I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. So here we see Yeshua humbling himself. And then Isaiah 41:14, we see Jacob, who had his name changed to Israel. Matter of fact, Jacob in Hebrew is Yaakov. His entire name is erased except for the letter Yud. Yaakov becomes Yisrael. That's all that's kept, is his humility. Now, notice with Israel, though, the Lamed is the largest letter, and it goes from the smallest to it will become the greatest. And look at this. In Psalm 119, 128a, it says, "Therefore I esteem all your precepts concerning all these things to be right." Well, the word right is Yisar, which is the first part of Yisrael. And then Proverbs 15:19, it says, "The way of the slothful man is at the hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." And there the word righteous is Yisar. Look at Isaiah 43. "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Well, the word straight is Yisar. So the very name Israel can be broken up as being the straight path to God. And he says, through Israel or through the Jews comes salvation. Now, in Genesis 2, 7 and 8, I want to show you something else. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then it says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there is where he put the man whom he had formed." Now, here is the English word formed, and underneath it is the Hebrew word for formed. And I want you to notice there are two letter Yuds. Do you see that? And the letter Yud is what in Hebrew? Yod is hand, implying that when he formed man, he used both of his hands. He was intimately involved in creating man. Now, one of the other interesting things, I mentioned this before. We'll see how many of you remember and how many of you were here before. When God spoke, we're speaking of creation. When he spoke everything into creation, was the Garden of Eden part of that creation? It wasn't, because it says the Lord God planted the garden. So after he created everything, he wants to get personally involved when it comes to making man, and he personally planted the garden, which I think is interesting, because in John 20:15, after the resurrection, Yeshua says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" And she supposed him to be the gardener. He was the gardener. But I want to take a moment and show you our genetic makeup from the Hebrew language. That when God spoke in the beginning, he didn't say, "Let there be light." He said, "Yehior." He spoke Hebrew. I'm going to show you how Hebrew, the letters, the language, is actually the DNA of creation. The language that is closest to Hebrew is the chemical language, like H2O. Because in Hebrew, every letter is a number as well as a word. So I'm going to show you the DNA of creation in Hebrew and how we were made. Okay, so to start with, we have up here Adama, which is earth or dirt. Okay. Now, so the three letters of Adama, the last three, you have the Aleph by itself, then you have Dama. Well, do you know Dama, or Dome, I should say? Dome in Hebrew means to be resemble or to be similar to. Well, the Aleph represents God, and man was made in the image of God. So the very word for ground, Adama, the last, you separate it, you have Aleph represents God the Father, and Dome means similar to God. Isn't that fascinating? All right, so what is a human being? In Hebrew, Adam, Adam. From those three letters that make up Adam's name, I can tell you about the most important things you need to know as to who you are, your identity. God called all of mankind Adam. Well, what do we see here? In Adam, but here Dome means to be similar to. But now we take the first three letters from the word ground, Adama, you have Adam. Well, what do we know? We know because it's three letters, that shows we're made of three things, body, soul, and spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, It says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. So we see we're a tripart being. With the Aleph being first, we also see that we were created in God's image. Now in Genesis 4:10, it says concerning Cain, God says, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Okay, well here we have the word for ground. Adam means ground. But look at this. Within Adam's name, we also have blood. And how many of you know we have to have blood to survive? So from the name of Adam, we see we're a three-part being. We're created in God's image. We also see blood is necessary for us to live. As a matter of fact, blood represents the physical side of who we are. We can't be just spiritual or physical. The whole idea is to merge physical and spirituality together. How many of you know the average human body contains 60 elements, they say? Well, six is the Vav. But not only that, they say we are 70% water. So from the name of Adam, we see we're made from dirt, right? And to dust we're going to return. But the letter Mem in Hebrew means water. So we also see within Adam's name, we're also made up of water. Now, there's water. But what else are we made up of? Well, guess what? If you take Adam again, the first two letters, Ed, means a fog or a vapor. And what do we find in James 4:14? It says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. It's a fog. So from the DNA of the Hebrew language, you take the name Adam, you see we're made from dirt, okay? Blood is necessary. Water also is what we're made up of. And we are a fog or a vapor, a wind that passes away. All of that you see right in the name of Adam. Now, the other interesting thing about Adam, when you study the ancient Hebrew that Moses used and David used, they use more like hieroglyphics, where every letter is a picture. So I'm going to show you the ancient way that the Hebrew looked, how Moses would have written that. The Aleph in Hebrew, Aleph is an ox, so they do the picture of an ox. The Dalet is a door, so they do the picture of a tent door. And the Mem represented crashing waves of water. Now, because the Aleph goes first, what do we see Adam's name means? Let me bring this up. He was the first or the leader through the door into chaos. Right there, Adam. He was the first to go through the door into chaos. We also see that. So when we see we're reading mankind in Hebrew, when we read Adam in Hebrew, we can find out, wow, we're not just talking about Adam. We're talking about all of humanity who's made from dirt, blood, water, a fog, a mist that passes away. And he's the leader that went through the door to chaos. All of that you can see right in the word Adam now. Pretty fascinating. Okay, now, in Genesis 2:16-17, the Lord God commanded who? And what's the Hebrew word for the man? Ha-Adam. Adam. Did you know? Well, look at what it says. He commanded the man, of every tree of the garden you can freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat it, you shall die. Eve never heard that command. Eve hadn't even been created yet. Did you know that? Eve never heard the commandment from God not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She wasn't even in existence yet. So the only way she heard it was from Adam, who misinterpreted or misinformed her of what it really meant. And so then what do we find in Genesis 2:18-19? So the Lord says, okay, after he tells him not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says it's not good that man should be alone. So right there tells you she hadn't been created yet. He says, I will make a helpmeet for him. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Well, you know, the interesting thing, the word formed here this time, he's formed the beasts of the field, right? Well, guess what? The word formed now only has one yud. It's like God wasn't as involved in forming the beasts. So you don't see this. In English, you see the word formed man and formed the beast. But in Hebrew, you have a letter yud missing. And again, remember I told you if there's a letter missing, it means it's not as involved or not as perfect. So when he forms man, he uses two hands. When he forms the beast, there's just one hand that is involved. Now, and the reason why is man was not created to live like an animal. The Hebrew word for animal, okay, is behemah. So there's behemah. And what's fascinating about this is that it means, behemah, referring to an animal, means it is what it is. Pigs don't fly, okay? Foxes don't fly. When it comes to an animal, it is what it is. So, humans, on the other hand, are to take whatever gifts God has granted them and become greater each day by overcoming their animal instincts, which is not what is expected of an animal. By creating man from earth with these Hebrew letters, God is teaching us that we can choose how we live our lives. We can either resemble God being created in his image, okay, by performing good deeds, or we can be like an animal. And as I always say, there's more. When you take Adam's name and you rearrange it and put the mem at the front, you have the word ma'od, which means more. If not, it is what it is. Man can become more. We're meant to become more every day, going from glory to glory, as the Bible says. And so in Genesis 2:20, we see Adam gives names to all the cattle, the fowls of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet. English translation is not very good. Helpmeet does not mean really helpmeet. The Hebrew word is etzer, and it means someone to surround and protect him. Woman was created to protect Adam. This is why in a Jewish wedding, the bride walks around the man seven times as a sign of protecting him from all others. Now, when you think about that, how many of you men would not want to have a T-Rex to guard you? Or a lion, a tiger, or a bear, or an eagle to look ahead to see the enemy coming? It says none of those could protect Adam or be a helpmeet. The word etzer in Hebrew in the ancient picture language implies someone who sees the enemy coming. That's what the woman is has. She has the intuition. She sees things a man doesn't see. And, yes, that's right. But this is why. What good does a lion, a tiger, a bear do against Satan? You have to know the nature of the battle. Okay, well, none of those things could protect Adam. He needed a good woman by his side to guard and to protect him. Now, that'll preach, won't it? At a women's ministry. Okay, so let's wrap this up here. I've only got about 5 minutes. In Genesis 3, 23 through 24, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him from the garden. It doesn't say Adam and Eve. Only Adam was told the commandment. And here it says Adam was kicked out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. Eve wasn't taken from the ground. She was taken from Adam. And it says, so he drove out who? He drove out the man. And he planted at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Well, guess what? There is a way back to the Garden of Eden. Okay, it is the way past the flaming sword between the cherubim that are standing guarding. Well, the Torah calls this way the way of the tree of life. This is the first time the word way or derech appears in the Bible. The two cherubim embroidered on the temple curtains, they were required of the Holy of Holies. On the curtain had two cherubim. Why? It is protecting the way. And what is it protecting? What's in the way? The Torah is what is in the Ark of the Covenant. The Torah is the access to the tree of life. We see in Exodus 26:31, he's to make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, fine twine of linen of cunning work. With cherubim shall it be made. So these two cherubim stand entry before the Holy of Holies, just as in Genesis they guarded the way to the tree of life. The way to the tree of life entails passing between the veil of the curtain of the Holy of Holies, and what's in there? The Torah. Leviticus 16:2. The Lord says to Moses, tell Aaron your brother, don't come at all times into the most holy place before the mercy seat, lest you die. For I'm going to appear in the cloud on the mercy seat. So if we want to find our way back to the garden and taste of immortality, as we see in the book of Revelation, where it talks about, again, the tree of life is there. We need to realize Yeshua has made the way between the cherubim. He is the way to the tree of life. We see in Revelation 22, 13 and 14, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter in by the gates of the city. Yeshua says, I am what? The way. This is referring back to Genesis. He is the way to the truth and the life. He's all of those. That's why in Acts 24, 14, they say, but this I confess to you, that after the way, which they call a sect, so I serve the God of our fathers. So back then, they were followers of the way. And then in Genesis 4, 25, it says, Adam knew his wife again. She gave birth to a son, named his name Seth, which means to be appointed to, which is why it says, for God has appointed me another child instead of Abel. For Cain killed him. And then it says, there was also born a son to Seth, and his name was Enosh. Then men began to call on the Lord's name. Do you know that is an inaccurate English translation? It's after when they begin to curse the Lord's name. A lot of people look at that, well, they begin to call on the name of the Lord. Isn't that great? No, that's when they begin to curse the name of the Lord. The Lord's name there is the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. God is called only Elohim in Genesis 1 because Elohim represents God as creator, as judge. Okay? Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, name of God, represents the merciful, which is why when Adam's created, we now introduce to the Lord God, or the merciful King Creator, the merciful Judge. And here we see they're cursing not Elohim, but they're cursing the merciful, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Now, I'm going to close with this. In Genesis 5, 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Okay, let's look at the screen. Here, in Genesis 5, 1, let me bring this up, is where it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And the word is toldot. But in Genesis 2, 4, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. Well, what has happened? Okay, look at this. The letter Vav is missing. See, again, this is another error in your English because it doesn't spell it wrong and it's supposed to spell it wrong. In Genesis 2, 4, God created the heavens and the earth. And he says, these are the generations. Everything's perfect and complete. But now in Genesis 5, 1, when it mentions the creation of Adam, the second Vav is missing. And now it's defective. Why? Because of Adam's sin. And what is missing? The letter Vav. And the Vav is the connection. So he's saying the connection between heaven and earth has been broken. And do you know the next 100 times the word generations appears in the Torah, it is spelled wrong every single time. It does not appear to be spelled correctly again until you get to the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth, where it says these are the generations of Peretz, the Vav is back. Why? Look at verse 22. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. When the genealogy of King David is introduced, he's the missing man that's going to bring forth the Messiah. Now the word generation is correct. Which is why in Matthew, now we have a better understanding of Matthew 1:1, where it says the book of the generation of Yeshua HaMashiach, the son of who? David. Not Joseph, not Adam, not Abraham, David, because David was the missing man. That's the connection. Now, David in Hebrew is the number 14, which is why Matthew 1:1, it goes on to say 14 generations from here to there, and 14 from here to there, and 14 from here to there. In English, we just see 14, 14, 14. But any Jew reading that goes, David, David, David. This is the Messiah, the son of David. Okay, so in 1 minute here now, we're going to talk about the Haftorah, which is the section of the prophets that goes with the Torah. And what is it about? There's always a connection. The connection is the creation of the nation of Israel. Isaiah 42, 5 through 6, it says, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and that which comes out of it, he who gives breath to its people, spirit to those who walk in it. You can see the correlation here, right? Then he says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I'm going to hold your hand. I will keep you and make you a covenant for the people as a what? Light for the nations. Israel was to be a light for the nations. Why? Because Israel has the Torah. It was supposed to be the light bearers. And then verse 21 through 23, look at this. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He's going to do what? Magnify what? And make it honorable. Many today want to demagnify the Torah and make it dishonorable. The whole goal, the whole heart of God is for us to realize we're to magnify the Torah, we're to make it honorable because it is God's word. Who are we to edit God's word and say, okay, God, we're going to have to edit your work. This isn't any good anymore. What happens? It says, but this is a people who are robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hidden prison houses. They are a prey. No one delivers a spoil. And no one says, restore. I can't help but think of Acts 3:16 through 18. Peter says, Yeshua is going to be held in heaven until the restoration of all things. One of the things that needs to be restored back to the church is the concept of the Torah and the law. But it's not, I'm not talking about legalism. We're saved by grace through faith, period. But the problem is the church, for the most part, has dishonored the law, demagnified the law. We need to understand it's God's word. Isaiah 43:1. But now says the Lord who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. And then verse 10 and 11. How many of you know we're to be witnesses for the Lord? And right here it says to Israel, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, with my servant whom I have chosen. That's referring to Yeshua. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Which is exactly what Yeshua said, I am he. And everyone fell backwards, if you remember, in the garden. Before me there was no God formed, neither will there be any after me. I myself am the Lord, and beside me there is how many saviors? None. And then we close with 43:15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Melech, our King on his crown. Amen? Can't believe we got it done in an hour. Let's have the worship team, or Vicky, come up and let's stand. We're going to close in prayer. But let's stand and let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we thank you that we can come together and worship you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We want you to know, we want to magnify your Torah, your law, your word, and we want to carry that light to the nations of the world. In Yeshua's name, amen. All glory be unto you. To be holy. And you even said in your word you want to put your name upon us, and your name is holy. You not only wanted to bless us, you wanted to put your holy name on each one of us. May each one of us carry your name in a holy manner. You told Aaron to say this prayer, Ivarekeka Adonai Ba'ish Mareka, Ya'er Adonai panavilecha vichuneka. Yisa Adonai panavilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom, in that most wonderful name, Eyeh Asher Eyeh. Amen. If you want prayer, come up and pray. Otherwise, greet one another as you go. Thank you very much. Shalom.